Oh yeah, yeah, pause it. Yeah.
It's recording again.
Yeah.
Alright. Okay. Ma'asim Ktanim, small actions. Hineinu Nigashim. Behold, we are coming to see. Liyisod Harishon Shel Avodah. The first page 189. That's Kuf Peitet. Perek Revi, the fourth Perek, Ma'asim Ktanim. The first Avoda. That's the first, the beginning of our Avoda, Avodas Hashem. How do we start that? Ketzat Ovdim. How do we start that? Toch Akifat Koach Hamarida. The normal status of a person is he doesn't want to change. A human being has natural inertia. It's called Merida. It's called to rebel. Teenagers, it starts as teenagers and it continues throughout life. You know? You know the famous song, I did it my way? Everyone wants to do it their own way, wants it to be their own, try out their own way, do their own thing, you know? Most of us are in YouTube because of that.
Yeah, to a degree, is that a positive quality trait?
It can be a positive quality, it can be a negative quality, depends how it's used.
You did it for yeshiva, it's positive quality.
Yeah.
Anything else now?
If you do it for college, it's a negative quality. No. I'm just joking. Right?
Yeah, I'm not coming back to school after this year.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Rabotenu Beit Midrasho Shemaran Hagri Limdu Otanu. They taught us, our rabbis taught us, Et Erkam Shel Ma'asim Ktanim, small actions. So she's going to bring a few chazals that shows how important small actions are. Havizahir, we did this. B'mitzvah Kala K'b'chamura. Be careful with a small action as a big action. She'ein Ata Yodeh Matan Scharon Shel Mitzvahs. Ekiv Tishmu'un. If you do the mitzvahs which a person's dash ba'akavav with his heels, those small little things that everyone treads on that doesn't take notice of, right? Tishmu'un. Yeah, if those things you listen, then you get all the brachas. Okay, so that's it. Now we know. We do ma'asim ktanim. Why ma'asim ktanim is the most important things?
They make you think.
It helps you digest. If you have a whole meal in front of you, you can't gulp it down in one bite. You gotta take.
We don't do that with eating. We don't do that. With eating, we don't do that. With eating, we have meals. We have big meals. We don't nibble all the way along. If you want a diet, you nibble.
You can knock more out at once.
Huh?
You can do more small things than big things.
Yeah. But what's the reason? We gave a hint at the beginning. Merida. If a person wants to make a big change in his life, will that have kiyum?
Effectiveness, permanency?
Permanency, yeah. The answer is no. That's why in the yeshiva, a boy walks in and he says he wants to, you know, he wants to have a beard, he wants the payers, he wants the whole works, the hat. The first thing we say is no. Because that's not going to stay. First of all, it's something external. But second of all, you know, it's too big a thing for the person to, you know, all of a sudden he wants to be frum, he wants to take the whole thing on. The way we person grows is through small actions. Small actions, and those small actions are not noticeable. So a lot of the time, it's we don't like wake up a Yetzer Hara if we like just do this small little thing every day. We start to take on bigger actions. First of all, what can happen to a person?
Gets worn out.
He doesn't want to do it. It's too big on him. Right. He wants to get rid of it. It's too much of a load on him. You understand what I'm saying? Small actions, it's not too much of a load. It's something we can take on. And we don't have a regression from them. We don't throw them away. If you do a big action and it's too much and you throw it away, you don't do another big action like that again. But if you do a little small action in gradation, you're going to keep it. And then another one on top of it. What's the problem with small actions? You don't feel that you're doing anything major. You don't feel you're doing anything important.
Which is beneficial if you don't know that you're doing it. No, if you don't feel the complete impact, then you're able to
absorb more of it, yeah. Right. So, but it has that aspect, but it has the aspect of everyone wants to feel that they're doing something important.
Do you mean like this, like the Rambam with tzedakah, like it's better to give $1 a day for 30 days than give $30 once and out again?
Yeah, but that's a different reason. That's because a person teaches himself a midah of netina, an action of giving. When a person has an action of giving is to do more giving than one big one out giving.
That's what
you're saying
here too, him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but there's the hergel. And you're right. It is related. You're going to come to that. It is related. It's very related because that's what he's going to explain soon. That's the next parak. But he's going to explain, he has a parak after this called Hitlamdut. And says, what's Hitlamdut? Hergel. A person gets used to doing things. When you do small actions, you get used to doing them. They have kiyum by you. There's a very famous Rishash. Rishash was one of the biggest Kabbalists we've had, right? He came after the Arizal, explained the Arizal. And he has a very, very, very important drasha on Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is a major day, right? It's a major day. These are days we can have a big impression on our lives, right? So what would you think we should do on Rosh Hashanah? We should take on big actions, shouldn't we? That would be the obvious thing. I want to do X.
I want to do 8 hours.
Like, you know, they have 8 hours of that, right? Big actions, that's what we should do, right?
Exactly what you do. 8 hours.
Right, okay, the 8 hours done once a year, but forget that. But we want to do big actions. We want to take on big actions for the whole year. The Rosh Hashanah says no. It says you take on small things that you know. Definitely, Bezal Hashem, that you will be able to do them for the whole year. And so long as you do those small things for that whole year, you will be a Baal Tshuva. You will be considered that you a tzaddik and you did Tshuva. All a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from us is an improvement. An improvement with gradation. Like I said, and that, what happens to that gradation improvement? It becomes part of us. We're mitlamed. It becomes part of our nature, and we don't even notice it. What happens, a lot of boys in yeshiva, after, you know, they first come to yeshiva, they came from college, they came to yeshiva, it was a big change. Their decision to stay in yeshiva or not to stay in yeshiva, right? Well, stay in yeshiva we're talking about, right? Their decision to stay in yeshiva was a big action for them. Then all of a sudden, now they're going to shiurim, now they're hearing things, they already, like, they keep Shabbos. They do most of the things. They get up for davening. They put on their tefillin. They do all the things that it's more or less supposed to do, right? They have the cake break. They do all those things, right? And they're set in their ways in yeshiva. Then all of a sudden they come and they say, well, Rabbi, you know, like, they don't think they're growing anymore. Don't think, you know, like, in the beginning it was an exponential growth. Then they reach like a sort of plateau, or they reach a sort of, you know, it's a gradual growth. And it starts getting hard right now. And it's a gradual growth. And they don't feel they're improving anymore. That's a mistake. The whole of life is that way. Things happen very slowly, even the way you get older, right? A year passes in your life. You remember last year, right? John, you remember last year? Well, were you so different? You had pictures of last year, right? You remember it was so different? You didn't look that different. You know, the beard didn't, you know, maybe
a little bit wider,
but not noticeable. You can always dye it, maybe not, right? Halacha grapes might be a bit of a problem, but okay. But little improvements don't make those improvements. Life is like that. Even growing is a little improvement. A flower grows very slowly. Yeah.
This idea sometimes, though, I feel like I don't mean to do this. It's more I'm tired, but I use this as a bit of an excuse sometimes. Let's say I'm really tired and the alarm goes off for Shockers and I just don't feel like getting up. I'll talk myself sometimes into staying in bed longer by saying, look, you came to yeshiva, you keep Shabbos, you've grown so much, you know, like, you know, you're still growing, don't worry, you can, like, you know, down by yourself later, we sleep in a shower.
Right. Like, look, that's everyone has a Yetzer Hara, right? Everyone has and in bed, there's different reasons why people stay in bed. Most of the time, we stay in bed, is an inertia. You're in there already, right? You have to do something active to get out of there.
Yeah,
and also, you know, it's a taiva, it's a desire. It's staying in bed, not just you're lazy. It's a taiva, it's a desire. Some people, you know, you need a little bit of push to get out of their desires.
It's a concept that could be used either biologically or politically called punctuated equilibrium. That'd be the biological term. Where There's a moment of rapid change followed by a long period of plateau of stagnancy.
Right.
So, I mean, you jump in and then things even out.
So now I'm going to explain to you a new concept as well.
Like Social Security, it was like founded overnight and then you're stuck with it. Kind of like that. So that's a political example.
You have to add things to the schedule.
Yeah, you add. You add in small amounts and in gradation. You get used to one, you add another one. You get used to one, you add another one. Little gradations, because then you don't have... If you add big things, your Yetzer Sahara is going to start up on you. Little things, he won't start up on you.
Now, what if you have a situation where, say, you can do... Obviously, you can do 100%, but you're only doing like 60% of what you could do during the day.
60%?
Yeah, say you're only doing 60% of what you could do that day.
We'd do very well then.
No, I'm saying like you're only doing 60% of, say, the 60% that you could do that day.
They do very well. I told you, there's a Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says, you have to know, that we have what's called a Sadeh. You know, in Nezikin, if you mazik someone, you have to pay the best land back. If you don't have money to pay him, you have to pay the best land back. It's called Ilis, right? Idis. That means land which you put, like, we had last week's parasha, Yitzchak Avinu. He planted and he got 100 times what he planted. That's a ila ilis. That's a very, very good field. There's a medium field which you plant, you get more than you put in. There's the bonus, you only get the bad field, you only get a little bit more than you put in. A little bit more. Rabbeinu Yonah says we have a Yetzer Sahara. Rabbeinu Yonah says this, not me. Rabbeinu Yonah says this. We have a Yetzer Sahara. Our field is a Sade Ziburis. We have a bad field. We'll toil and toil and toil in that field and it only produce a little more than we toiled in for. We won't get 100%. We'll get 55%. We're lucky 60% of our efforts.
What if you're only toiling for 50% of what you could do?
That's the same thing.
Say you're learning Torah. Like, say you can learn Torah 10 hours a day. You're only learning
You can't
Torah
learn Torah 10
but
hours a day.
But say, hypothetically, okay, fine. You can learn Torah 6 hours a day. And you only learn Torah for 3 hours a day. You're only doing half
of it. Everyone's on his level. But if a person's going, say in this yeshiva, if a person's going to all the shiurim, right? Whatever the shiurim are. Not the extra shiurim. We put the 60% in. If you go to all the shiurim, morning and afternoon, with all your cake breaks and all the breaks that you have, you don't have to go to extracurricular activities. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing.
What if he could be learning 2 hours a night and he doesn't?
Those two hours a night are meant for him to relax. The night is no schedule here in the yeshiva for the first years at night. He's meant to relax at night. If he learns at night, he's doing more than he needs to be doing. He's already the Edis.
What if he sleeps until noon?
Then he has a problem.
Okay, fine. Take that example. He sleeps till noon.
So that's to work on.
So waking up at 7...
Listen, most normal people don't sleep till noon. You understand that?
Waking up at 7:30 is like, that's a huge step.
So what you do, so rather than waking up at 12, you wake up at 11.
How could you do that?
Then you wake up at 11. Then you wake up at 10.
Okay, so it depends who you are.
You don't have to do it every day.
You can go to, be honest between the two of us, if so long as the person davens. It's not public announcement, right? But so long as the person davens in his first year when he comes here, I don't know if he has to come to every shacharis. So as he's davening in his room, he's davening in Imre Shefer, he's there for the classes. I say it's not an official announcement, right? It's not, I'm not Andrew here speaking official announcements, right? Yeah, don't quote me on that one, because I'll deny it. Even though you've got me recorded here, but I deny every word. But you understand, a person has to be normal. If a person has a problem getting up, so okay, just need to take it easy. He has to work on what he can, not on what is for him is a giant step.
What if he can do it and he doesn't?
You have to see why.
He can do it and he doesn't?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
But I want to say, some people push themselves more than they should be pushed. And if you push yourself more than you should be pushed, you're going to fall. That's what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about.
But at the same time, rather than waking up
because
at
if
10,
you
get, you wake up at 9:50 and then you wake up at 9:40.
No,
even if it makes no difference in the schedule of the yeshiva,
what if you
you're making incremental wake-up
time.
What do you
mean I could, though?
It's hard you're talking about the actual good. Like, I could wake up then, but he's not talking about...
Tomorrow we're going on a trip, right?
Yeah.
What time, Shacharis?
5:30.
5:30, right? What time is everyone going to get up?
6:30.
5 o'clock, right?
Yeah,
everyone's going to be... You think anyone's going to miss getting up for that trip tomorrow? Do you think? Now, do you think... I don't think anyone's going to miss. Maybe the rabbi, because the rabbi, you know... that's like a... That's how the time is he goes to bed. But okay. But apart from that... No one's going to miss that trip because it's important. But no, if you tell guys, let's daven Nate's, right, in the morning because we're going to have a shiur. We're going to have a shiur. Now, everyone knows. We'll go around the people and we're going to ask them logically, right? What's more important? And we're going to bring in a rabbi in. It's important shiur, right? Important shiur, piece of Torah or going on a trip? What's more important? Spiritually?
Trip.
Okay, he's right. No. The shiur. Right? Obviously the shiur. Will the boy get up at the same time? Will the whole yeshiva be getting up for Nate's having the shiur? I guarantee you. Even if it's Rabbi Gershenfeld's shiur, there will be a very small attendance.
Yep.
Right? No one gets up that early. You notice the yeshiva shiur starts at 9:30. It doesn't start at 8:30 or even 7:30. Right? There's a reason for that one. There's a reason for that one, right?
People probably wake up at 6:30.
Yeah, I'm sure, but there's more likelihood. There's going to be a larger percentages of people. Larger percentages of people are going to get up. Yeah, and people who are into davening, I'm talking about.
You know,
there's a larger percentage of people.
This trip is nothing but a shiur.
You get a bus off the door and just give a shiur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, now let's go back. Let's go. I'll give you an answer. I'm giving you an answer. Your expectations of yourself have to be within the limits of, for example, I'll give you exactly. If your pushing gets you to a state of being disappointed in yourself and unhappy in yourself or not liking, right, because of the pushing, that's wrong pushing. Avodas Hashem has to be done with simcha. That means it has to be done at a state where there's a little bit of a push, but it's not too much of a push that you feel a backlash on it. That has to be Avodas Hashem. There's a very important shach. It's speaking about teaching a child. It's a very important shach. It's brought down in Hilchas Schiras Palim, in Choshen Mishpat. The shach says a very important thing, and it's based on a Gemara. It says you have to teach a child no further than his threshold limit. That means, the Gemara says, if a child's healthy, safin le katura. Hit him like an ox, like, you know, feed him. Stuff him like an ox. Yeah, stuff him with Chumash, stuff him with Gemara, stuff him with Mishnah. Feed him up like an ox. If he's a healthy child. If he's an ill child, you don't feed him because he'll be more ill. So the Shach basically says a similar thing. He says, you have to teach a Talmid no further than his breaking limit. If it's too much pressure on him, he's going to be ill. He's going to be physically ill, says the Shach. Because emotional pressure can cause a person illness. If he's not happy in what he's doing, if it's too much for him, if he's too much of a burden, even if he in theory could do it, he physically could do it, but it's too much. He feels emotionally too much of a burden on him. That's bad for him. That's not good for him. He should not be doing it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And also what happens is, let me finish. Also what happens is, when a person puts that as what he's expected to do, i.e. that's his minimum of expectations, and it's really something which is hard for him to do, he's going to be disappointed with himself the whole time. It's different if a person puts his threshold limit, right, and things which he can easily do, and then he puts on top of that, if I do this, I get myself a Ben and Jerry's, right? I get myself a Richie, I don't know, something else, right? A cake, a double cake break, right? Double portion of schnitzel, right? Right? Whatever it is, right? That's different. Because then, when he does that extra, he'll feel good about himself. We want, Torah has to be done, or learning has to be done, any learning, even secular learning, has to be done in a way that we enjoy it. The process is an enjoyable process. Now, what I wanted to speak to you about is this concept of when a person, when we start off with a high jump, all of a sudden we see we're like doing these small gradations. And then we feel that we're not, you know, Rabbi, I felt so spiritual when I first came to Yeshiva. I felt so spiritual when I was in Warrensburg and we made the tzitzis and everything. Now I became like, I'm a regular guy. I don't feel spiritual, you know. I have my schnitzel and eat it and that's it. You know, like, I don't feel any spirituality anymore. You came to a plateau. So this is, Rabbeinu Tam speaks about this.
So what do? You have to always hearken back to that original. You got to hearken back to Warrensburg.
No. Explain what you do. You're right. There's two ways to deal with it. And one of them is that way. Way number one is, it's called, you come to reach the plateau. It's called Yimei Ha'ava. Rabbeinu Tam explains this. It's one of the Rishonim. Sefer Yosha. Yimei Ha'ava and Yimei Ha'sina. There's times when a person feels tremendous Avas Hashem. And there's times when a person feels Sina, Richuk, distance from Hashem. Now, it's a funny thing. You feel that you're doing all the things you're doing before. You're davening, you're learning, you're steiging away. But you don't feel that you're growing in the same way you were. Let me tell you, the truth of what's happening with you is, you came to a plateau, because this is now what you had before, which was a growth, you made a kinyan on. You made it, it became part of you. It became you. So now that it became you, you habituated it. Right? It's now you. So as far as you're concerned, you're not growing anymore. So you came to a plateau. That plateau, that Yemei Hasina, that times of hardship, right, is actually a good time. Because it means you're going to go to another level of growth. You're going to be going to another level of growth. If you sit in that plateau and you don't push yourself up from it, then you might not get up. You might just stay in the place you are. And you might actually start going down. But if when you reach that plateau, you may of the times of sin, or the times of difficulties, let's call it, times where you feel rehooked from Kodesh Baruch Hu, my davening is not going. My thing is not going. It's not going. I'm doing all the things. I'm functioning. They're all part of me. But you're not in the same process of growth. That's the time a person has to push himself to grow. That's when a person, yes, does push himself to grow. And then he reaches a new level of growth. Now, there's ways of doing it. Now, how do you do it? The first time you put on tefillin, right? It was great. You know, you felt really good. You're putting on this tefillin. It's just black boxes, right? But you felt great about it. The first time you made your tzitzis, you put it on the mudras. Felt great. You feel the same way with your tefillin every morning now?
Yeah.
Okay, yours.
I hearken back to that first time.
Okay. That's one way of doing it. But most of us don't feel the same way the first time we put on tefillin. I know my kids. My kids were bar mitzvahed, right? So like, my kid was telling me, Abba, when I can put on tefillin? Like, he's a big boy. When can I put on tefillin? He wanted to put it 3-4 months before, you know, his bar mitzvah. He was asking, when can he put on tefillin? He's so looking forward to putting on tefillin, right?
3 years later,
he'll
be saying,
oh. Yeah, right. He's not... Now he puts on tefillin every day, right? I'm not saying he doesn't put him on. I'm not saying he's not... It's not the same, you know, fervor of putting on tefillin. Something was lost. Why is that? We get used to a spiritual level. It's something we already were kone. I could probably put on tefillin with my eyes closed, right? It's we got used to it. The first time, like, you know, the first time your father has to teach you, you go like this and you go like that, and it always falls off and it always things. Now you've got it really tight on, you know, you can do it, you're a pro already, right? And you can do the Vayrasikli without even thinking about it, right? And Kaddishli without even thinking about it, right? The whole you got the, it's down, you got it pat. How do you now reawaken that tefillin become something new? How do you get to the next level of that plateau? You're now in the plateau of tefillin. It could be any mitzvah, I'm just taking tefillin. How do you get to the new level of tefillin? The tefillin now makes a new level in your life.
Learn about it,
that's it. You learn about what's tefillin. So you fast, you know, you can't learn. If you can learn Gemara, so there's a whole perek, or near your, a whole like few daf of Gemara, explaining how you make tefillin, what they are. So with my son, I did that. I learned with him Hilchos tefillin. I learned with the whole thing of tefillin. So he knows how you make tefillin, right, how it works, the whole thing. So he knows what tefillin are. The sheet isn't tefillin, right? And then you could, for us, we could read, you know, there's Ari Kaplan books on tefillin, there's one on tzitzis. You read it, you see the depths of tefillin. Well, you know, you understand it. You take a page every day before you put on tefillin, right? And instead of reading your kavana things, you read one little page, one little amud, one little side of tefillin. So you understand a little bit more of tefillin. You understand? You have to rekindle something in you to get to the new level of plateau. There always has to be some little miser. Now, don't say you sit one day and you read everything on tefillin, because you won't do that. You take a little miser. You take a little miser, you take a book, and you read a few lines every day, and you understand a bit more about tefillin. Maisim ktanim. But there has to be a growth in your areas of whatever you were kone, whatever became part of you, right? That you grow still in them. You understand what I'm saying? When you reach that level where they become like dulled, like you may have sinner, times where you don't feel that connection. Same with davening. Some people come to me, there can be other problems, personal problems, why a person's davening's not going. We're not talking about that. We're saying his davening was good. Now it comes to the stage, his davening's no good. So what do? You know what you do? You take, this is the Maisim Ketanim, we're going to give you the project. You take a bracha. Take a bracha. Now, with Maisim Ketanim, I wanted to relate it to Yirat Shamayim. What's Yirat Shamayim? Whenever you see Yirat Shamayim in Chumash, you always have a Rashi that says, Dava Hamasu Lelibo Shel Adam, something which is given over to the heart of a man, that means no one else knows about it. It's between you and God. Only God sees. Al ze ne'ema v'yireitem elokecha. You fear your God. That's what it says by Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is those little actions that no one knows about. It's not a public announcement. Oh, thank you for helping this one out. Oh, thank you for doing that. Right? It's those little actions that you do and no one knows about them. On that name, my Yirat Shamayim. So these little actions of no one knowing about actually are those little actions of growth. So for example, we want to improve our brachas. We want to improve our blessings. So you know what? You take an apple or a sweet, right? Or a Tom and or a Ben and Jerry's, whichever is your preference, right?
Ricky's cake break.
You take it to your room, no one around. It can be at night, it can be whenever you want. And you make a great bracha. I.e., you know exactly what you're saying, you know who you're saying it to. And you make it with all the kavana, with all the intention. Kavana means intent. Like you say, Baruch Atah Hashem, that's without intent. You say, Baruch Atah Hashem, with intent. But you mean it. And you do it with all intent. That one little action, once a day, or once a week, everyone's different. But however you want, you make that little impression on yourself, that'll improve your tefillah the whole day. Because just that little action, no one knows about it. No one. You're in the room by yourself. None of your friends knew you did it. Just you and your Creator, and you're telling him how much you thank him for that apple he gave you. For the Ben and Jerry's he gave you. And Ben and Jerry's. They gave him the chokhmah to make it. Right now, whatever. Okay, you understand? That's what you have to do. And that brings a person to Yirat Shamayim. And that brings a person to a new level of avodah. Those are how we grow. We don't grow with the big actions. The truth, you come to yeshiva and all these things, right? It's a big thing. You start off that way. When you're in here, you grow through those little actions. But they have to be a continuation of those little actions, a gradation. You don't become a world champion overnight. You have to jog a lot. You have to eat properly. You know, eating properly one day doesn't mean you're going to be healthy. You have to eat probably for years to be healthy. Right, doctor?
Yes, sir.
Right. Or not eat probably for years to be unhealthy. If one day you have your Ben and Jerry's, no one's going to, you know, you don't have to count your calories that one day. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed to have a little bit, you know, spoil yourself here and there. Nothing will happen to you. I'm probably right about that one, yeah? Okay. So you do it constantly. That's the problem. So it's the same thing. With constant little mitzvahs, you do it constantly, gradation, in a non-noticeable way. But you do it in a way that you're growing with them. You're not staying in the same place. and you're pushing, but you're pushing in small measures, not pushing in big measures. That's how we grow. And that's where Yirat Shamayim is. Yirat Shamayim is, no one knows how you're growing. No one knows that when you put two people turning on tefillin, you know what's his in his mind, or what's his in his mind when he's putting on tefillin? You have no clue. For him, it's putting on a black box. For him, it's connecting to his creator. It's the same black box. You understand? Depends on your intention. Those things which no one knows about, those small things, that's the place we improve. That's what we have to work on. Going into shir, right? Everyone likes bringing a cup of tea to the rabbi. The rabbi likes it, the student likes it. And look, he's got kavod, he brings the tea for the rabbi, right? But there's other things you can do to the rabbi in shir. Boy, like what?
Pay attention.
Pay attention, right?
Correct.
Say thank you. I went yesterday to, you know, it's a funny thing that, you know, you can learn from your children. I went to my, what's it called, my son, my little son, Elazar. He's a cute guy. So I went to his Rebbe. We had Asifat Horim yesterday. So the Rebbe told me, you know, he's a cute guy. You know, he told us off about bringing him late. But he's a, yeah. So we have to improve on getting up. It's a bad habit, my wife and myself, okay. But he said one thing. He says, no one ever tells me after the shir, thank you. Your son, after the shir, at the end of the day, he says, thank you, Rebbe. He says, you know what that does for me? You know what that does for me? Like, I didn't even know he says, thank you, Rebbe, for the shir. So you know what that does for me? You don't know what that does for me.
We discussed this last time, I think, sometimes. He said thank you to the bus driver.
Yeah, with my wife. Probably came from my wife, because my wife gets the kids to say thank you the whole time. She says, thank you to the Rebbe. He says, you know, it's such a nice thing. Feel so good about it. That's a small action. Thank you, it was a great show, Rabbi. I really enjoyed it. Oh, he feels good. I'm not saying you guys have to do that now. Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying? Those are small things. Think about the other person. Do those small little things. Like we talked about last week about what other people need, right? What are their needs? But the needs are usually can be met with these small actions. So our project this week is what? We're going to take one bracha, right? We're going to make one bracha a week. Everyone can do a week, a day, whatever they want. It can be a Birkas HaShachar in the morning. He gets up with Birkas HaShachar, he makes one bracha and says it with proper intention. Or he says, Hashem Sefatai Tiftach, in Shemona Esrei, no one's going to know what he does in the Shemona Esrei. Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, he says with proper intention. Just that part of the field. The rest of the field he davens normally. That part of the field he does with a lot of kavanah. Right? Small things. That's what we've done with Bein Adam LeMakom. Bein Adam LeChavero. Another small thing which shows Yirat Shamayim. I'm sure everyone gets up in the morning before their friend, someone. I mean, you guys have roommates, right? Mm-hmm. And no one likes to be disturbed. No one likes to be disturbed in the morning, right? No one likes to be disturbed in the morning. So what are we going to do? Now, no one's going to know about this. We're going to get up in the morning extra quiet. Now, we get up normally in the morning. We go brush our teeth, electric toothbrush, bzzz, and, you know, whatever else we do, right? And, right, huh?
I sleep through all those alarms.
All of his alarms?
Maybe as loud as I want to.
Okay, look, you don't know. Sleeping through the alarms doesn't mean he doesn't hear them. He does. He does hear them, right.
I can
poke him in the alarm. Yeah, okay, right. So, but say you get up and you know his alarm's going off at 7 o'clock and you're up at 6:45, right? So that, for him, those 10 minutes of sleeping, oh, that's the best part of the morning, right? That's the best part of the morning. You're ruining that best part every, you know, like, and crank or whatever, right? And with a toothbrush, that's terrible for him. So you're going to think about him. I'm not saying that's the problem. It's not a problem. I'm just giving an example. So that, you're going to get up and Bein Adam LeChavero, we're going to work on as well. Take one little thing and do it with a little bit more consideration. See what happens to us. We do that every morning. That's small little action with a little bit more consideration to our friends. Or going to sleep at night. He's already asleep and you're walking in. with your iPhone and your, right? And you press on the computer and whatever you're doing, right? Look, I don't have to go. She still wants to sleep at 9 or 10 o'clock, you know. You're allowed to be around at 11 o'clock or you walk in the corridor. And you know the guys are sleeping. And we're talking in our normal voice. We're talking in a softer voice. So that our friends can sleep. We're considering maisim katanim. These are small actions. But these small actions show consideration and so show yirat shamayim. You understand? Does that mean on mamokom? Bein adam l'chaveru. Now, bein adam l'atzma. Between man and himself. What maisa katan can he do for himself? You know what maisa katan can do for himself? When he goes to bed at night, he sits there in the bed after he said his Kriyat Shema and he thinks about one little action that he did that day that he was great about. And he focuses on that little action for a minute. Because I did that, I'm a good guy. That was a great action. And he focuses on how good that was. He praised himself. He could actually smile over there about himself, right? He'll smile. Let him be pleased with himself. You understand what I'm saying? So we have three things we're doing here. Brachas, considering our friends morning, evening, right? Or during the night walking around the corridor, right? Or shouting around,
Being quiet in the
dining room, whatever it is. Then the third one is what? Being considering himself. You think about one good action and praise himself. He'll, how you say it? How you say the word? Like with wine, you know, you Google it around you. How you do it? You
swish
it around. Google something else, right? Google it, right? Yeah, you do that with something else. That's you. Then you do the iPod, right? Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? Makes sense to you guys? That's what it means by Maisik Tanim. You're a Chamayim, and you may Ava, and you may Sir. You understand that now? Makes clear? Okay, that's it.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Oh, see, it worked. It worked.
I got it on here. I got it on here too.
It went dead on me.
No way.
This died.
I don't know what your passcode is.
Can I get that from you?
Yeah.
Now I can do it. Now you can put it off?
Yeah.
This thing?
Yeah.
No, this thing.
Yeah, that one.